Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think there's a 65% chance.
I don't give a shit about numbers.
They're going to take the guy that they hope would be the successor to Brady.
Being able to sit behind the GOAT.
I, too, had sex with a GOAT.
Dale Arnold.
Why the number 10 there?
I'm going to let you guys figure it out.
Huh.
I hold all the cards now.
Grow up.
Rich Keefe.
When I look at LeBron, he's not what Michael was. LeBron doesn't have that gene.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
So I tried out to get a radio show at my high school radio station, and they said no.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Steve DiAssi in the house with us. Yesterday, this radio station made a big announcement. Red Sox Hall of Fame broadcaster Joe Castiglione signed a contract extension. He'll be doing the games for a number of years more. And they announced a cast of eight other people who will be working with Joe throughout the course of the season. Names like Sean McDonough, Josh Lewin, Mario Impemba, Dave O'Brien, Tom Caron, Lou Maloney, yours truly, and this guy who joins us right now, Chris Berman, is on the line. Hello, Boomer. How are you?
Dale, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. This is kind of fun news around here, huh?
Came out of left field. I give your program director, Joe Zarbano, complete credit. Every now and then, it's nice to get a phone call out of the blue. I think probably about a week before Christmas, there was a message on my home machine, which, you know, must be deep into the EEI archives from 25 years ago, you know, and he threw it out there. I went, well, now, isn't that interesting? I mean, I've only been going to Fenway since the 70s, but I really hadn't thought about it. So I'm just the, you know, I'm the lefty that comes in for one out. I mean, I'm going to do five games, Dale. I don't know how many you're going to do, but the whole idea of doing five games at Fenway, three in May, a couple in August, it was, wow. You know, and the Jimmy Fund's involved, obviously, there's 157 others to go around, but I've got my five spot, like I said. I'm the lefty for one out, once a week, right? Something like that.
How's the response and reaction been to the announcement?
Well, I mean, people, it's kind of, you tell me, I'm kind of living my own little bubble. I mean, my friends, really? And because it didn't say, but they read it as we must be doing 30, 40 games. No. Not that that wouldn't be fun, but, you know, I'm an old man now, right? And look, it's an honor to sit with Joe, who's meant so much to Red Sox fans. He's another Connecticut boy like me, and what he's meant over the years and decades to Red Sox fans. I'm anxious to sit and listen to him as we just throw it back and forth. We can go back a few years. Not that that's what everybody wants. I mean, games on the radio are different than TV, but, you know, it's something, Dale, I've been doing. I mean, since we lost the playoffs, and that's over 10 years ago now, ESPN other than the wild card game, I've been with Rick Sutcliffe on the first round series for 10 years now. We just have a blast. We did Boston and Houston not last year, but the year ago when Houston won. And, for example, last year we had Dodgers Braves. But, I mean, it's fun. It's different. And it's we all grew up, at least our age, listening to baseball on the radio, listening to Ned Martin, et cetera. So here I am. We're going to have some fun and not looking to reinvent the wheel by any stretch of the imagination. It's Joe's show.
It's going to be a lot of fun for you, I could imagine, Boomer. Is there any plans, I mean, with you being a national name and a national guy, any plans to maybe expand it into some of the other teams?
No, I don't. No, like I said, this is unique, Steve. You know, yep. This is, that's Steve, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've only known you how long, right?
Way too long.
We were young men once.
That's right.
No. This is a kind of a look. My A team, which everybody knows from the San Francisco Giants, you know, and my American League team has always been Boston since Yaz. So, if the opportunity came for a few games with the Giants, but that's different. This is a drive to Fenway. You know, I'm from here. It's 2 hours away. You know, we all spent our $1.50 to sit in the bleachers in the 70s and no assigned seats, right? So you got there at 5 or 5:30 and you sat in the best seats right behind the bullpen or wherever you wanted to sit. And now we're taking it forward to 2019 for a team that won 119 games last year. I mean, it's just going to be fun. I mean, it's baseball. I mean, it's just fun at this stage, yeah? So I hope it will be fun for all the listeners. That's the goal.
We're talking to Chris Berman, who will be part of the Red Sox radio network broadcast this upcoming season. I'm always curious about this because when I think of Chris Berman, I think of football. I saw that shot in the pregame before the Super Bowl of Bill Belichick stopping in the hallway and talking to you downstairs there. I think of the Berman highlight package after the Sunday games. What's your biggest love, though?
Well, I mean, football is where, obviously, I've got the biggest fame, if that's the right word, or notoriety. I mean, 40 years at ESPN come this October 1, being the football host. I mean, on Sunday, the pregame, game day, then countdown. Of course, NFL primetime, which was our favorite with Tommy. And everybody liked that show, not because we did it, but just because you had to watch it, right? And those are the days when you got three games and you want to see Seattle against San Diego? Here you go, you know. Here's 4 minutes. You didn't see this. But baseball, the love is right there with it. This is not a distant second. If you think, and some listeners here are old enough to remember all the days with ESPN and the early Sports Center. I mean, I did two Sports Centers a night, pretty much. Which was primarily baseball on the daily basis, right, from April to September 30. And then when we got baseball in 90, we did six games a week. I mean, I did a game a week for a long time. I've probably done, I don't know. Now, if you're a Joe Castiglione, you know, you do 162 a year, so this isn't a big number, but considering it was a one a week and I haven't done a regular, games for what, I've probably done, throw in the home run derbies, like every one of them, 400 games. Doesn't make me great at it, but it doesn't make me, I've never done this, let's see what we can do, Again, it doesn't say I'm good, bad, or ugly, but I do it because I love it. And so when this call came, it was a wow. Let's talk after the holidays, and we did, and all the slots weren't filled up, surprisingly.
Do you got any nicknames for the Red Sox players or home run calls up your sleeve?
I'm early yet. It's February.
Right.
It's in the morning. I haven't had a beer. I need usually one or two to, so the answer is no, not really, because, I mean, I don't even want a half. I haven't prepared any. It's not, those things don't, I through the years, I took 10 or 15 seconds and looked at a name and went with it or not. It's not like I stayed up late at night, doing my taxes to do nicknames. So we will, but that's not the point. The point was that was when we were doing highlights on every team in the 80s, and half the time we didn't have the video,
Mm-hmm.
So that's how those were born. But not that you need me to call that outfield the Killer Bees, but just as an aside, my favorite postseason game, and you guys can fill me in because now I'm forgetting, just as a baseball purist, it might have been one of the Houston games last year, not the Dodgers. They all went so late, I don't remember anymore, right? But what was the game when all three outfielders, when Betts and Bradley and Benintendi all had defensive big plays, let alone big hits? I think it was a Houston. I was like,
it was in Houston. Yeah,
that I don't remember. One of them in Houston. I don't remember which one it was, but it was wow. And so I'm excited, just as a baseball fan, watching that as much as I am seeing those guys hit home runs, you know. So that'll be fun. Again, I love the sport. Everybody knows it.
What about something like, hey, Xander, don't call me Humphrey Bogarts.
You're like, obvious.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. All right. I'm just spitballing here.
If it's going to be obvious, yeah. Which some of them are, can't be long. The long ones are reserved right. for, I really have nothing, you know, but so let me throw this out.
Yeah. Drag this
like,
out.
As an aside, this has nothing to do with the Red Sox, but when I got to know Patrick Mahomes this year, I said, you know, I knew your dad, blah, blah, blah. And I said he had two nicknames. You know, Mahomes is where my heart is, or Grand Funk Railroad, who we didn't know. Getting closer to Mahomes. I said, do you want me to throw one of those in for you? He goes, I like Mahomes is where my heart is.
That's so good. I don't think you're going to be able to top Rob My Baronis. I don't think you're going to be able to top that one.
That was pretty good.
Or, of course, the Burt B. Home Bly Levin.
Yeah.
No, that is because... You didn't have to know he threw a curveball or was a pitcher or who he played for. You knew as a kid you heard it, and as a parent you said it. And so, I mean, look, now this is not the official. You're putting me on the spot.
No, I know. Yeah.
Mookie, you bet.
Oh, that's all right. I know it. That's a good one. Right. I love it.
Roger Daltrey?
Like somebody 25 will go, what are you talking about? More legalized bets? That would be more bringing it up to date. I don't know. Benintendi would be some work.
Yeah.
Bradley, I mean, you don't want to really go Omar. That's a layup of the general. Look, again, I'm not Devers.
Right.
Tinkers to Devers to Chance. Now, that would be a baseball nickname, you know, of 100 years old. Again, I'm not coming prepared. I mean,
you have plenty of time.
The headlines have been sale of the century. That's not,
I like that.
These are just...
Right.
Right.
We're just scratching. This is like a lottery card you're scratching. Right now, you know?
And they have to be organic. You can't you can't force the issue.
No.
No, right? And it's got to be the best ones are one that everybody gets, whether they, you know. So every now and then you get one that's indigenous to the area, and that is when you don't mind going long.
Yep.
Like when Carlos Baerga came over at the end of his really good career with Cleveland to Boston, right? So he was one if by land, two if by sea, three if Baerga.
Oh, that's perfect.
I thought that was a very good Boston local
there you go.
Nickname, albeit long, you know?
That's all right. It works.
I love it.
You know what I get, Boomer? I get an email every year containing the clip of when you did one of my son's Pro Bowls, and you noted that the football factory of Brown University had more players in that Pro Bowl than the University of Florida, University of Texas, University of Nebraska. Yeah. And my son sends that clip to me every year to remind me that you were talking about him in the Pro Bowl.
Well, we're proud of Zach, obviously. And now how about this now how many rings? Zach has two rings, of course.
Well, he
and
lost.
How many rings is James Devlin from Brown, who obviously played a huge role this year? Three? Was
good point.
He in 2014? He had to be, I think. Right?
I don't know. Here I think he might have been.
So Brown, and Steve Jordan was the best player, the tight end with the Vikings.
Yes.
He never got one. Sean Moore, he got. But between Devlin and Zach, here in the last dozen years.
Yeah.
There, Brown, we've got five Super Bowl rings. How about that, Steve?
That's more than any other Ivy League team, I think, right?
Well, more than
let's just say
SEC
it.
Team.
That's right. That's more than the University of Florida.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Maybe well, not. Probably not.
We're proud of those guys. We really are. And James, you know, I don't know if he played a down on offense at Brown ever, maybe goal line, you know.
Yeah.
But he was defense, as you know.
Defensive end.
What a role he played this year as the team became an old-school team, weren't they?
Yeah, it was great to watch.
Interesting. It was football that you remember as a kid, right? Like, you know, and we're going from baseball to football for a minute, too. You know, Bill came right over to our primetime set, which I do this show. He's so nice, as did Robert Kraft, and Julian came over right after the game. I don't know who saw it after the podium, after the trophy. And the two questions I didn't get a chance to throw to Bill were, and this would be fascinating, at what point did you realize this was one of those games as opposed to it's going to be 34-31, and this is how we have to coach and call plays. Was it late first quarter? Was it, when did you realize, whoop, we're back to the 50s? Or you know what I'm saying, right, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
The other question was, and again, I'm just getting to the football, but I mean, why not? I heard the Patriots won this year.
That's right.
What's new?
We, if Bill and his staff get 18 minutes of tape on something, they're going to come up with a plan for it, right? I mean, hear me out on this, right? Like, if they see eight, they're going to come up with a plan. So how come 18 years of a slot receiver, with Julian Edelman being now, but we started with Troy Brown, and you could go through them all, Wes Welker. And you, I mean, 18 years, they still get open. Now, obviously, that's a credit to Tom and the slot guy and the line. But 18 years, like, that still is, if you really go through it, the biggest weapon they have. I find it fascinating, don't you?
I do. Oh, yeah. Absolutely do.
How about Tyler Every Rose Has a Thornburg?
Sorry, no. Now we're
How about that? That's not bad.
He's been
maybe
researching
try that
there.
One. That's now, not a bad one. He could be closing games.
Once you chew on it,
yeah.
See,
yeah.
But you don't want to chew too long. Then you
fair
put it down.
Right.
And you come back to it.
Yeah. Right? Good idea. Good idea. I'll do this.
No, there's. I mean, and Alex had one when he played. See, Joey, his brother, was Albacora. But I'm trying to think of what Alex, I don't know that Apple,
you know. It's a work in progress.
You're all around it, I think.
Cora, yeah. Now that's something you can,
right.
You can certainly piece Cora. I mean, there's lots of ways to go. Right?
Yep. I like it.
It's going to be interesting either way.
I can't wait.
Looking forward to it.
I'm not getting on there to take over and give nicknames and have Joe sit there and look at me like I have three heads. You know? And by the way, the beauty is, you know, it'll the few games in May and a couple in August, if it's nice out and it's like, geez, Chris, stop the nicknames, turn off the radio. It's okay.
Hey,
I can't wait to have you join our group here. It's going to be a fun season, I think, for all of us. And it was fun talking sports with you, as we always do. And I look forward to seeing you at Fenway, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks, Boomer.
It, fellas.
See you out at
happy winter. Spring is coming.
We'll see you. See you at Jim Kelly's tournament again this year.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Chris.
Good stuff.
That
there
is
from
Chris Berman.
Berman
joining us. He will be part of the. He's as he said. He's only going to have five games. He's got three, I think, in May. And as he said, he's going to be here for the two games at Fenway around the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
That'll be great.
So he'll be part of that whole thing, which he wanted to be a part of. And you know, I think it is our labor of love as well.
Yeah, it'll be fun to hear him.
It'll be fun. He's got a unique relationship with Belichick, which I think some people have a hard time understanding.
Yep.
And as I said, there was that shot way before the Super Bowl started, probably an hour before, and they showed Belichick down, you know, in the hallway there. And he stopped and turned around and went back and was talking to Chris Berman for a couple of minutes, you know, before he went back into the locker room. They've been close for a long time.
Yep. How did you guys meet, Steve?
Just from being in the league and getting to know him a little bit, and then being in New York, getting to know him a little bit more. And then he's always been involved in charity events.
For sure.
Run into him many times there. And then we spent time together in Hawaii, and then he's always shown. I've been going to Jim Kelly has a great golf tournament for I've been going there for the last 15 or 20 years, and it's always a great time beforehand. You sit around, and you basically sit there and listen to these guys tell stories. Him and guys like Bill Polian and some other Hall of Famer guys, and Marino and Kelly. You're just sitting there listening to these stories. You're like, these are just great stories. You can't step away from it. And he's very involved in charities, has always been, and that's pretty much how our paths crossed for the most part.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It was fun to talk to Chris, but we've also been talking some football, and the whole Gronk into the Hall of Fame thing is one of the things that that we've been discussing. We've got some other things we're going to talk about, including the fact that Dustin Pedroia met with the media. He had his picnic table session today. In my mind, already has one of the candidates for Sports Quote of the Year. We'll get to that. You'll look forward to hearing that one. 617-779-7937. We get back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Deossi Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
UEEI.
We return to a Falls Count Anywhere Friday with Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Steve DeAssi's in the house with us on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday. I just want to interject one brief moment of baseball here. Both Dustin Pedroia and Xander Bogaerts have had their picnic table sessions earlier today.
Good.
Now, neither, by the way, are required to be there yet. There are a lot of guys who are there already.
Yeah, Monday is the report day.
Right, and a lot of guys, which, by the way, gives you some hope if you're a Red Sox fan. They don't seem confident or happy to rest on their laurels. They want to get back out there and start this thing up again. But Dustin Pedroia sounded like his old Dustin Pedroia self. There was a, and I've already said, I think this might be in the running for sports quote of the year, because he had an operation on his knee last year, as we know, and ended up only playing three games. There was a part of a cadaver that was put into his knee, a ligament or a tendon or something. But he was
That person athletic?
I don't know. Okay. Let's hope. So he was asked at the picnic table today about his confidence level about his knee being 100%.
So I get my knee 100%?
Yeah.
It ain't even my knee, man. It's somebody else's, bro.
That's a classic.
It's not even my knee.
That's a great else's line. Bro?
Bleep, it's not even my knee, man. It's somebody else's, bro.
So that's a no.
That would be
I will hear that as no. And, you know, you hope that he's able to come back, and you hope he's able to play as many games as Cora was talking about and that he's anticipating. But I wouldn't bet on anything with Pedroia this year. I think that's the kind of knee injury, because Stephen Wright's dealing with a very similar thing. And Stephen Wright said he's never going to be 100%. He's like, my knee injury will never, ever allow me to be 100%.
Well, even Pedroia admitted today that he's going to have to wear a knee brace from now on.
Right.
And Stephen Wright's probably going to have to wear one as well. So I guess in that regard, it's never 100% if you, in fact, have to wear a knee brace. Unless you're doing it, you know, like some football teams make their quarterbacks wear knee braces
on their whole offensive line.
And the technology's gotten so much better on them, too. It's not like they're as imposing or as uncomfortable as they used to be. I mean, nowadays, they've done a great job of making them, streamlining them, to the point where, you know, you talk to guys now that wear them, and it's they're just used to it. It's no big deal whatsoever.
I think the good news is with Pedroia, though, is they want it without him. Yeah. And so anything that he can give you, if he's an improvement at second base, great. That's
which I think he probably would be.
He would be if he's able to play.
Right.
Like, if he's able to give you 130 games, with he's better
range.
Than Holt or Nunez.
Yep.
He is. He's a better defensive player, and he's a better hitter. But I just think that's really wishful thinking based off of the injury that he's trying to come back from.
It was Dave Dombrowski who said, when he spoke to the media a day or two ago, that it is their hope that Dustin Pedroia could play as many as 120 games this coming season. So Pedroia was asked about that as well. And
line?
I've been around long enough to know that, especially around here, that, you know, you can't look that far ahead. I mean, I remember they were saying that in 16, too. And I got like 11 straight hits and played for like 40 straight games. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff, who knows? I mean, that you don't know. I could wake up tomorrow and not be able to play anymore. Like, you don't know. But I'm confident where I'm at now. I'm excited. We got a good plan in place. I have to be smart. Don't get emotional. And just enjoy what I love doing.
Plan in place. I mean, that's got to be he and Cora.
He said, knowing what he knows now, he wouldn't have done the surgery.
Interesting. Yeah, so that's not a good sign.
But that, I think, is why last year ended up being as abbreviated as it was.
But last year, they brought him up in, like, May, didn't
they?
Yeah,
they did.
Because that corresponded with Hanley Ramirez being sent away. That's
right.
When they brought in Pedroia. You're like, well, what's the rush? Because remember, there was no real timetable, and you're saying, well, why don't you bring him up in July?
Yeah, there were no specifics on his rehab or anything like that either.
It was really odd.
Yeah.
And so I think the plan in place would probably be, if he's able to go opening day, maybe he only plays 3 days a week, right? Like, I would think, or 4 days a week, whatever it is. There's no way. He talked about in that quote right there about a couple seasons ago, he played in 40 straight games or whatever. That's not going to happen. That may never happen again.
May not need that, though, from him. I mean,
I don't think you do.
You don't need, whatever you, like, to your point earlier, whatever you get out of him this year is as productive, and if he can have the range that he has, that he's always had at second, then you're fine. Then you're good. That's a bonus.
It will likely be an improvement. No, I mean, no knock on Brock Holt or anybody else who will be playing second base. I'll tell you what we've done here over the last couple of years, and I think we turned on Pedroia a year or two ago.
Well, for good reason.
But my point is, what we did was we forgot what Dustin Pedroia was, because for a long period of time, he was the perfect player.
True.
He played 110% every
MVP.
Single time.
Yeah.
You know, everything he had, you got. He was diving at baseballs. He was legging out hits. Yeah. He was
Dirt
a
dog.
Great player.
Yeah.
And as soon as we turned on him, and this was in the aftermath of the David Price stuff and all that, as soon as we turned on him, we forgot what kind of player he was.
Yeah, but that was also in the past. Like, is that player still in there?
No, but I bet that whatever percentage that player he is still better than what you had.
Than Brock Holt?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying? Or better than Eduardo Nunez?
Or Sue Lin? Or...
Yeah, I mean, Farisee's probably better than him. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think it was unfair to turn against him. The way that whole thing that played out in Baltimore.
No, but my point is, we then forgot what he was as a player.
Well, it's been a while, right? It's been a while since we've seen it. And, you know, you go back a couple of years ago, 2016, he was good. He hit .318, and he was, you know, more of a singles hitter, but still, like, he was a productive player that year.
Right.
A couple years removed, and you start to see a bunch of other guys playing really well.
Right.
And it is, that's what happens.
You know? you're not worried about Alex Cora trying to force the issue with Pedroia. It's not like I have no concern whatsoever that he's going to, I don't know, sacrifice isn't the right word, but endanger the team chemistry or whatever by forcing the issue with Pedroia, just because Pedroia has been a big part of this team for a long time, excluding last year. I think Cora will be able to handle it in the exact correct situation.
Yeah, I would trust Cora to do it too. Now, last year was just really a complete lost season for him. You know, he was around the team a lot, but he only played in those three games. He was kind of out of sight, out of mind. I do think that they have all of a sudden a lot of kind of leaders on this team, right? Whereas before, also some of the damning stuff with him and John Farrell's last year, they didn't have a leader. They didn't have David Ortiz. Pedroia was kind of reluctantly that guy. Remember, he claimed that he was the leader. It was like a really weird little exchange with the media. That was very odd. But now this year, a World Series team, it seems like Sale and even Price are kind of leading the pitching staff. You know, Mookie Betts, I think, has really emerged as one of the guys as far as the everyday players. And they got to feel good about what they were able to accomplish last year. So maybe Pedroia can slide in, and he doesn't have to be the biggest personality on the team.
There's a texter says, you know, he sucked for a long time now, too. I don't know that that's fair. I mean, last year he only played the three games. I'm excluding last year completely.
Yeah.
Even 2 years ago, and he was limited to 105 games.
No,
he still hit .293.
In 2016, which is not that long ago, he played in 154 games. He hit .318. He had an 825 OPS. That's really good.
That's free writing.
Now, and the year before that, he hit .291.
Yeah, but that was, he missed a ton of games that year due to injury. But I'm just saying, that year, 2016, is not that long ago. However, this knee injury is different.
Right.
And so that's why I don't expect it. But whatever you get is good. And I brought this up to Dale the other day. This isn't like Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez is recovering from an injury, and you're like, these guys better get back out there. They better hit 30 dingers. They better drive in over 100. And no. Whatever you get from this guy is a bonus. They proved that they didn't need second base to be a great. In fact, last year they added Ian Kinsler just for defense.
Right.
Like, they didn't even really need a bat at second base, and they still won the World Series.
No issues of him not getting the playing time that he wants and being slightly disruptive on this team.
Maybe.
I would have said
it could happen.
Before last year, I would have said no, but there were some, like you said, some strange scenarios.
It's one of those things where if he feels like he's healthy, but he's hitting 220, and all of a sudden you're going with other guys, does he start to chirp about it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a different, because normally he's a guy, when healthy, you play all the time.
Right.
And so things may be different this year for him.
And it is certainly possible, coming off the knee injury, I understand that. But it's kind of hard to picture him, you know, being healthy enough to play all the time and hitting 220. Even in the years when he hasn't been healthy, he's hit 293, 291.
Right.
He's a lifetime 300 hitter. Is it possible that because of this, he suddenly goes from being a lifetime 300 hitter to 220? It's possible. It doesn't seem likely to me.
Well, I think the knee injury, we don't know. You know, like
right,
you said,
right.
Like if he's 100%,
yep.
But I don't think that's even possible anymore. So can Dustin Pedroia, at whatever percentage you want to put on him, which is not 100, can he still hit 300? We'll see. I mean, we're going to find out this year.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe even the first couple of months, you'll find out whether or not, you know, how's he doing? Is he,
hasn't he earned more than just a couple months?
You're probably right. Yeah. And I think the team has too. He probably has. That's probably fair.
And
but
I don't think the team's going to be in a situation where they're counting on him either.
But also, he's one of those guys. You know, you're right. I don't think they are counting on him. He's one of those guys,
I think they're hopeful,
too,
but not...
Yeah.
Right. They don't need it. It's not
sense.
A necessity. But one of the things that has made him the player that he is, the 300 career hitter, is he busts it down the line all the time,
good
right?
Point.
He dives for balls. He does all this stuff. And he even made a comment today about how, well, if we're up by 10 and I don't dive for a ball, I think the pitchers will understand. So if he has to change how he, like, he's not a power hitter that, you know what, if you Cadillac it to first base, like Manny or Ortiz, I don't care, because
right.
You make up for it. But a guy like this who has made his whole career on being, you know, Mr. Hustle out there,
yes.
How does that impact his performance?
The thing that amazed me was, well, it didn't amaze me that people turned on him. I understood why, the whole Manny Machado thing.
Right.
That wasn't me, it was them. I understood why they...
Can I go home? Yeah. Remember that? Like, he had some weird...
I understand.
Oh, you don't have a leader.
Yeah.
I'm standing right here.
Oh, okay. There he is.
Now, a lot of that stuff that you just heard, that, pre-Machado, fans loved that. They loved that attitude that, you know, hey, I'm the leader of this team. Pre-Machado,
but he never said
he was
the leader of the
no,
team.
No, I'm saying
but just like his bravado
thing.
And
right,
laser
right.
Show.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff. People love
fans
laser
loved
show.
It.
But part of that was, it was almost like the... like vice president mentality, because he always played with Ortiz. So Ortiz was always the figure on the Red Sox. And then you got Pedroia, and he was a really good player. He was an all-star. He'd have these little kind of cocky lines. And you're like, yeah, I love this guy. Now Ortiz is gone.
102 coming in, 120
yeah. Right.
going out.
Great.
Yeah.
Good line. All those lines were good. But now Ortiz is gone. If things aren't going your way, they're going to go to you, and you got to be able to answer some of these questions. And he's given the, oh, can I go home now? And all this other stuff.
The laser show.
I kind of got away from him a couple of years ago,
yep.
You know, in John Farrell's last year, where a lot of things weren't going really well for the team. And Pedroia was sort of left to answer the questions and did not do a very good job of
which
it.
Is exactly the reason that I can't see this being an issue, regardless of how it plays out. If he can't contribute to the team, I have all the faith in the world that Cora is going to handle it correctly. If he contributes to the team, so much the better. That's a bonus.
But he didn't seem like a guy. Pedroia really liked Terry Francona. Like, they obviously had a great relationship.
Yep.
Playing cribbage before.
Yeah, best buds. Now, he hated Bobby Valentine, and turned out to be the right decision. Although he had no respect for Bobby Valentine. He and Farrell, I don't think, were necessarily great. And that also is like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. I don't think everybody had the best relationship with him. Cora's interesting because they were teammates at one time, and we never got to see it really play out last year. But these guys, I remember Pedroia's rookie year, he got off to a slow start, and people were saying, start Alex Cora. Like, those guys were on that team back in 07 or whatever it was. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic, I think, this year between those two.
I think that because of the fact that fans turned on him, that he's going to have a hill to climb to get back in their good graces. But if he comes back and is, and I'm not talking about, you know, all-star, you know, hitting 320, 15 home runs, but if he comes back and improves them at a position where, relatively speaking, they were a bit weaker last year, and they're a better, they're better with him than they were last year, does he win fans back over? Or once they turn, do they turn forever?
Right.
Now, yeah. David Price was the guy we've asked that question about in the past, and guess what? During that duck boat parade after the World Series, fans really loved them some David Price.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an easy audience this year. You know, I mean, as long as they don't get off to just a miserable start, this is a team that just won the World Series. They're bringing back almost everybody. So I don't, you know, you got a lot of leeway, I would say, this year. Now, if all of a sudden you look up in the standings and the Yankees are way ahead of you, then, yeah, maybe things will start to change. But in the early going, I think that everybody's going to be supporting all 25 guys on the roster.
Agreed.
All right, so let's hear what Dustin Pedroia said, again, at his picnic table session this morning when he was talking about being back around the clubhouse and being back around his teammates.
No, it's great. It's great to, I mean, I know I was around, you know, last year, you know, for everybody, but in a different way. But it's good to be playing with them. You know, I miss that part. You know, it's one thing to talk certain situations, but when you're playing and you're in the situation with them, you know, maybe you can have a different thought or plan of attack, things like that to get guys better and stuff.
I think he's right that, and Steve, you know better than I do, injured players have a hard time being go-to guys in a locker room, in a clubhouse.
Absolutely. Not even
no matter how great the player is, by the way.
Can't.
The year Tom Brady was out, he wasn't hanging around the locker room all the time. Yeah, hey, come on, fellas, let me tell you what you need to do here.
No, because you feel removed from what's going on. You're not out there practicing. You're not sitting in the meeting. Well, you could sit in the meetings if you wanted to, but you're not doing the day-to-day things that make you part of that team. You don't just walk into the meeting room and because you're a great player or been a leader in the past, all of a sudden people realize you're not going to play at all and you're trying to be a leader. It just doesn't work. And from the person who's injured, it doesn't work either because you feel like you're not part of it. That's some of the biggest things that bring guys back earlier than they should come back is because they hate not feeling part of what's going on. It happens all the time.
Yeah, we saw it even last year with the Celtics. You know, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving. Hayward was out all season. Irving misses the playoffs. And I remember he missed one of the games and everybody was freaking out. Like, how is he not there? I'm like, it's just, yeah, what is he going
to
do?
It's hard.
Like,
it's hard for players sometimes to be there. The 6 or 7 games that I missed in my career, I didn't want to stand on the sidelines and watch. It was irritating, and I'm watching somebody else that has a good chance to take my job from me. I mean, that's the last thing I want to see. I'd watch it on TV, of course, but and maybe even be at the stadium, depending on how.
Yeah, you just like removed. You're completely removed from it.
You don't want to be there.
We mentioned last year on a couple of occasions he was around more than people realized.
Yeah.
Now he wasn't talking. He wasn't seeking out the media. You know, but he was around, and he mentioned that briefly in the comment that he made. He was around, but how much can you be a part of what's going on? He also admitted that because the Red Sox won it all, it certainly made it easier for him because he'd have been going nuts if he's sitting on the sidelines and unable to contribute and the team is struggling. And you know this, Steve, then you're thinking, God, if I was out there, we'd be doing this.
Yep, absolutely right. And you can't – it's harder to talk to guys when you're not – out there doing the daily, especially something like baseball, when you're talking about a game every day and the grind of 162 games, it's not easy to talk to a guy who's out there doing it while you're working hard at rehab. You're trying to get better and you're trying to be part of what's going on. You're just not part of it. Doesn't happen.
For some fans, there's probably not much he can do to get back in their good graces. I think other fans are just going to be happy to see him back out there, especially if he's some semblance of what he gave you, you know, the last couple of healthy seasons he had. Then you're saying, okay, forget it. We're good.
Yeah, he comes in with, you know, all of a sudden he's not the guy they're relying on to lead the team. He's not the guy they're relying on to carry the lineup. He's not the guy, you know, I think he's probably going to hit, what do you think, bottom third of the order all season? I mean, barring injury from other guys.
Yeah, and by the
seven,
way,
7, 8, 9.
I don't think that's an issue for him either.
No, I don't think it is, but I think that's a good spot to sort of come back
because
in.
Because bottom of the batting order, and I know they won the World Series. We're not overreacting here. Bottom of the batting order was an issue for them at times last year.
And so the bottom of the order, I would think, would be some combination of Bradley, the catcher, Pedroia, or, you know, jump those guys around any way you want. But that's probably going to be your bottom three.
Earn your way up.
Yeah, you're on your way up, but also just kind of less pressure on you. And if you get off to a tough start, not the end of the world. You know, it's still going to be Betts, Benintendi and Martinez, who have to, and Bogarts, who are going to carry the offense.
Right.
And then everybody else, you know, you hope to get something out of them, but, you know, you can win without them.
But I could see a guy like Pedroia, just watching him play and how he approached the game, I could see him putting pressure on himself, especially coming off an unbelievable World Series team that he wasn't really, you know, physically a part of. I could see him putting pressure on himself. He's that kind of intensity, high intensity guy that wants to show these guys, these world champions, that he can still contribute to ridiculous amount of wins, of ridiculous playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to pressure himself a little bit to get more done, pushes the envelope a little bit.
I'll tell you who's happy to have him back, assuming that he's back. Alex Cora.
Yeah.
He'll be thrilled to have him back. And again, no knock on Eduardo Nunez or Brock Holt.
Well, those guys can go back to what they are. Like, they're good, useful players,
utility,
but they're not
guys.
Everyday guys.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the things that Pedroia talked about today was the difference now at this stage of his career as opposed to 12 years ago when he was starting out.
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm pretty much the same guy. You guys have seen me. Got a couple gray hairs, but, I mean, that's about it. I mean, I'm more under control in certain situations, but playing-wise, I mean, if I'm out there, you know, I feel like I could do the same as what I did then. It's just a matter of being able to do it every day. And that's what we're all working hard for me to be able to do.
Am I better at the mental part of it, though?
I mean, I've always been good at dealing with adversity. I mean, my first month in the big leagues, I had a tough time. So it's a little different than injury. But, you know, I'm confident that, you know, whatever thrown at me, I could try to overcome it and do it.
You've had doubters through your career, obviously, everybody does. But people doubting that you might be able to get back out this year, what would you say to them?
I mean, I don't really care what they say. You know, everybody's got an opinion. They have that right.
I thought he was going to go all Julian Edelman, bet against us. Yeah. Go ahead, bet against me. He's like, no. He's like, you guys are probably right. I wouldn't sweat it. I wouldn't pick me to hit 300 and play in 130 games this year either.
Easy way to just, you know, eliminate some of the pressure for himself. Just like, I do what I'll do.
Yeah, don't set the bar too high.
Right.
Just sort of get back in there, see what he can do.
But again, he's a scrapper.
He is very scrappy.
Regardless of being a very good player, he was also a scrapper. That was a big part of his identity.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that still going to be there?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yep.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Noon 30 today.
Huge week in review, Dale.
We have our week in review. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to fit it all in.
We'd start now if you want.
We could. And we
that's what
go
you want.
Till 2.
Yeah.
But that's coming up at 12:30. It's Dale and Keefe, 617-779-7937. Diassi in the house with us as well. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm going to let you guys figure it out. I don't. It's not that tough. If you know me at all, I feel like you can get it. Somebody will get it, and everybody's going to be like, oh, okay, wow. That makes sense.
The Red Sox have won 9 World Series.
That is not it. Not it.
That's a good guess.
Are they retiring Troy Evans never?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, I do think he will be a Hall of Famer, so I do think it will be up there at some point. I don't know about that.
So yesterday, one of the things that David Price was asked about during his picnic table session was his number change from 24 to 10. I don't want to take too much credit because we threw out about 9 different guesses of what it could mean.
Took a few stabs.
Because he wouldn't say why. You know, you can figure this out on your own.
Why wouldn't he say?
He wanted you
What's
to do
the matter
your work.
With him?
He didn't want to do your work
Why won't
for
he
you.
Do that? Why because won't he being, let us like him?
Well, because you're being what he thinks is playful with the media.
Yeah, his idea of playful, I think, is a miss.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Something's off.
No, I
you know?
Absolutely
like,
think you're right. Because
there are times where I think he has tried to joke, and this may be another one of those times,
yep.
And it just falls flat.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I have the greatest sense of humor in the world, but nobody's getting it. Like, right. Nobody's like, oh, good one, David. Everyone's like, what are you doing?
And the fact that you're giving a homework assignment to grown men and women, come on. Really?
They're in Florida. They don't want to have a homework assignment. Right. They want to go golf.
Right. All right. Now, as it turns out, one of our nine guesses yesterday was the right one, apparently.
Yeah.
According to Peter Abraham of the Boston Globe.
Good reporting.
And you heard when Price said it, he said, if you know me, then you know why I made the change. His son's name is Xavier, obviously.
Okay.
First letter is X. The Roman numeral for X is 10.
He's a big Roman numeral guy?
How old is his son?
I don't know the answer to how old. He's less than 10, by the way. And I know
he's just a little guy.
Yeah, he's a little kid.
Okay.
But the point is, newborn
or something.
No, maybe. No. He's 2, 3, 4, something like that.
Oh, I have no clue.
But anyway.
So why now, then? Could have changed it a couple years ago.
Because they let him? I don't know.
Let him when he came here. He picked 24.
Well, my guess is most people are going to say, okay, fine. You did it to honor your son. We're good. Now,
are we sure that's it, though?
Well, according to Peter Abraham, it is. Now, I don't know.
I'm not going to take his word for it.
Right.
Well, hey, Shime, is 10 have any significance in Fortnite?
10 has absolutely no significance in Fortnite.
Not a Fortnite thing, then.
See, that
was my first
guess.
My first guess had to be a Fortnite thing.
You were going all over the Fortnite thing.
Is he the 10th ranked player in the world at Fortnite? Can't imagine.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too.
Because Shime doubts that he's higher than Shime.
He's not higher than Shime. Probably
so,
not.
So apparently, according to Peter Abraham, that's why he did it.
But that's fine. It is fine. You have the right to change your number, but when someone asks you about it, because, you know, some people care about this, that's fine. You're like, well, hey, why'd you change your number? It's for me to know and you to find out.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why does that have to be so mysterious?
Why the number 10?
I'm going to let you guys figure it out.
Oh, God.
A number and give you a little homework assignment. I get, you know what?
Maybe because was he embarrassed to say,
no,
like, my son?
I don't think so. I think
you know me at all. I feel like you can get it.
I think he was trying to be
funny
and glib. Personable and glib.
Yeah.
And trying to, I think he was actually trying to relate with the media a little bit or somehow.
Which he's not necessarily comfortable with.
No,
but
he's not.
But he was at least making an attempt.
He made
that was rough.
Kind
of wish he didn't.
After his good playoff run, he tried to make some. I don't know, overtures towards the media
a little
bit.
I hold all the Trump cards now.
That was the one exception through. But he did try to make a few overtures towards the press and whatnot. But I think this was, I think it just came off as an awkward sort of.
He's the same
guy. Hey, let's have a little fun with this.
I'm going to throw this in your face too, Keith.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he was asked about his relationship with the fans because that's been a topic for discussion here for the last couple of years, especially in the aftermath of the Remy blow up on the airplane, and he did want to say something about the fans.
Fans,
I love you guys. I have no problem with you. I get asked about you all the time. I'm sorry. I love you guys. That's it.
Puts that to rest, doesn't it, Keith?
Nothing left open there. No,
well, hold on
very clear cut. Did you read that off a teleprompter?
No, because he did have some emphasis. I have no problem with you.
Right.
With you guys.
He's addressing the media.
Right.
So now he's reemphasizing his problem with the media.
Right.
His
I get asked about you all the time. I'm sorry.
I have no problem with you.
There shouldn't be any problems now.
He was actually responding to you directly.
Specifically?
He didn't say your name, but he should have and could have.
I wish he did.
Because you pointed out yesterday that in the past, when people have asked him what he thinks about playing here, he wouldn't say it. He'd say, oh, I love my teammates. And he wanted to clear that up for you, Rich.
So three seasons and one World Series later.
He circled around to it.
Well, no, the fans should love him right now. They just won the World Series. And he was good outside of the first start he had in the playoffs. He was good after that.
Yeah.
So they should like him. Everybody, it should be all good feelings. I don't know what the negativity would be about this team right now.
It's all just hold hands and sing kumbaya down in spring training.
Yeah, listen, a slow April, that can turn.
Yeah.
That can, in a heartbeat, that thing can change.
You don't get off to 20-2 again.
You gotta do it. Once they start blowing games in the ninth because they don't have a closer, people are going to turn on them. But right now, David Price, his stock with the fans should be as high
should
as
be
it
fine.
Has ever been.
Yep. Dave, when you made the reference in L.A. to holding the Trump card, how does that
plus
change?
Jokers. So
what's that?
Plus the Jokers.
Who are the Jokers?
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards and two Jokers in that deck. Never mind.
He's just an awkward, funny guy.
His attempts at...
What was that?
Because he said, I hold the Trump card.
Yeah, I understand
said,
how many cards are in
the Jokers.
Deck.
I don't know.
So who are the Jokers? Well, there's 52 cards.
And two Jokers. And
there's hearts. There's diamonds.
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards and two Jokers in that deck. Never mind.
There's four suits.
Never mind, Keith. You. Again, he's talking directly to you. Never mind, Keith. He just needs to put your name in there.
Three of a kind. And then you also have a pair. That's what we call a full house.
Right.
Yeah, what's your point? I'll let you guys figure it out. No, don't make me finish the joke, David. You need, if you're setting up a joke, you also need to have the punchline.
But no, when you
guys,
when,
hey, there's Jokers too. So what are you saying? You hold the Joker cards?
And somebody threw it out there.
Yeah, Shaughnessy. Are the Jokers?
Who's the Jokers? Well, you, your curly-haired boyfriend. I mean, that's
you could have gone with that.
Right.
Plus Jokers. Plus the Jokers.
All right, so there's 54 cards. Right.
But
he should have changed his number to 52 because then he could say, I hold all the cards.
Yeah, that's not
right.
Better. See?
That pretty good.
Then it would have been harder to figure out, maybe?
No. I would have gotten that immediately.
Yeah. Okay.
Cards in a deck. Right. Although 54 if you count the Jokers, which apparently he does.
I'm telling you.
He's a peculiar guy.
An awkward, funny guy. Nobody in his life has told him that he's not funny.
Still playing baseball. Good father, point. Husband, right. Son, friend, teammate.
What is this, Twitter bio?
Somebody,
people do that? Father, husband, dad, son, cousin, brother, stepdad, stepson.
Just tell him you're not
brother-in-law.
David, just
academic.
Just talk straightforward. Just, you know.
Pisces.
He doesn't do it. Yeah, all of it. All of there. Give me everything you got.
Yep.
Give me your bio.
Plus Jokers.
Yep.
What the hell is he saying? Plus Jokers?
Queen Bee fan? Who? What else? Oh,
sure.
Sorry.
It's all good.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's what it is.
He's all a right, father, husband, son.
So, you name it.
It sounds like with Keith. Now, I actually thought for many folks in the aftermath of finally coming through in the playoffs, finally getting that gorilla off his back and not only pitching well in the playoffs, but winning a World Series game and the team winning the World Series, I thought, okay, for many folks, that's going to turn the corner for them.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like that did that for you.
What do you?
You sound a little critical still.
Well, how can you
he's
not
he's addressing
be?
You without using your name, but I think he should just use your name and make it
well,
clear.
Well, listen, he's pretty corny. When he's out there winning games on the mound, great. But when they go to talk to him and he's, guess my number, I'll let you guys figure it out. Yeah. And what the hell with the Joker cards? Like, what is he talking about? You did hold the Trump cards, and then that's the big payoff?
Right.
There's 52 cards in a deck. Like, yeah, I got it.
Mm.
He's just kind of odd. He's hard to root for. He still is. He's hard to root for.
Well, the fact that he's awkward doesn't make him hard to root for.
What do you mean?
He's awkward.
Well, but
not everybody can be as glib as the star, should have been the star of WSPS.
No, right. But Dale, so you think when he talks to the media, you're like, that's an easy guy to root for.
No, I'm just saying.
That's my point.
I don't care about whether he gives good press conference.
Oh, I do. I'm interested in that stuff.
I am interested in the awkwardness of it. I kind of like. I'm one of those guys
trying
that
to figure it out. Like,
I enjoy seeing
this guy?
People uncomfortable on camera.
Yeah,
you know?
He definitely is.
I don't know
a
why.
Nice pitcher.
I've been there myself, but yeah, you know, right. It's when you start saying things and you're talking in riddles and puzzles that nobody really cares about. You know,
we're just asking. Because it's February. Right, we're down here. Right. These guys got to write stories. It's part of their job. Why'd you change numbers? You'll never know. You know what? Forget it. Yeah. Now I don't care. It's fine. I was interested for a second. I don't care anymore.
Really?
Move on.
Come on. My tea time's in 20 minutes. Let's get out of here.
Let's get going. I mean, come on. I got some bass to catch, and then I'm going in a bucket of balls. Move it along?
Yeah. No.
And then Olive Garden.
Well, because you were saying yesterday, so Chris Sale, for example. You love listening to Chris
God,
Sale.
He was so good.
So can't the opposite of that be true? If a guy is obnoxious to listen to, doesn't that kind of affect how you think of them?
I think that's a little harsh. He wasn't obnoxious. He's been obnoxious in the past.
This was pretty obnoxious.
He was awkward. He wasn't obnoxious.
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards and two Jokers in that deck.
He's a bad version of the Riddler. He's a bad version of the Riddler.
Fans, I love you guys. I have no problem with you. I get asked about you all the time. I'm sorry.
He's Edward Nygma.
Yeah, he is, but he's not. I don't think he's trying to be vile. I think he's just.
No, he's not vile.
He's trying to be funny, and he's not funny.
He's awkward. He's awkward.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward. And he doesn't know. It might sound good to him when he says it to himself, but he needs to get somebody.
Did he rehearse that?
He needs to get someone else. Oh, you don't think he thought about this?
52 cards.
The number change in the 52 cards?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, think about it. I mean
it's kind of entertaining, I guess, but it's like, what's the end game here? What are you going for?
I honestly think he might have thought he was being personable. Maybe.
Somehow. I think you've hit the nail on the head. Yeah. He thought he was trying to be
right.
more outgoing. In the past, he has been obnoxious.
Yes.
We've heard.
Oh, yeah.
There is no doubt. Yesterday wasn't obnoxious to me. It was awkward. It was awkward. Weird.
I just thought it was kind of... It wasn't as bad as the I have carpal tunnel, and it wasn't as bad as I'm allergic to cats, dogs, and the weather.
Right.
That's in a league of its own. But this was... All right, all the goodwill that you have, all of the postseason success for the first time ever, you have that, but you're the same guy.
Is it because he has that reputation of being, you know, a douche and not, excuse me, sorry.
I think it's just what he is. You're not going to change him now. You know,
no, you're not going to change the fact that he's probably an awkward guy when it comes to... You know, being funny. We all know guys who think they're funny that aren't really that funny.
Correct.
You know?
Right.
I'm one sitting right here. I'm not that funny.
Dale works with one every day.
I meant me.
Well, then why were you looking at me when you said that?
I got to look at somebody, for God's sakes. I'm not going to sit here with my eyes closed.
But you know what David Price needed? He needed a backup plan like this.
Do you think you're misunderstood in Boston at all? I feel like it's...
You seem like such a nice guy sitting here.
No, I think
he's misunderstood.
He should do all of his interviews.
He needed Brock Holt.
With Brock Holt. Yeah. Makes sense.
Turns things around.
Right. Dice on Twitter just tweeted me. He said 52 cards.
Yes.
5 times 2 equals
10.
That's right.
Trying too hard. Right.
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards.
Boom. Five times two. Way to go, Dice. I think you figured out the real
five
answer.
5 squared is 25.
Figured it out.
I get asked about you all the time.
Look at the big
I'm
brain
sorry.
On Steve. Mm-hmm. Look at you over there.
I got my computer in front of me.
Okay. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got our weekend review at the bottom of the hour, but we're going to talk about the Patriots and the upcoming draft when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.